I'm Anna Carmo with UN News. With the Hybrid African Union UN peacekeeping mission in Darfur, UNAMID, preparing to drone down by June 2020, key questions remain, including what will happen to around 2 million internally displaced, or IDPs, who are living in temporary camps, many still too afraid to return home. That's one of UNAMID's key concerns, which has been fulfilling its mandate since 2007 to save lives and help bring relief to the hundreds of thousands who were forced out of their homes by years of conflict between government forces and militias. Djumbe Omari Djumbe has been speaking to the mission's chief of staff, Luke Mlaba, in North Darfur, and asked him to outline UNAMID's main achievements so far.
I think when one looks at how UNAMID has stabilized the situation in Darfur, we are talking of withdrawal because we have seen periods of relative peace across most parts of Darfur, yep, which wasn't the case before. And also we have seen a political process taking place, the Doha document for peace in Darfur. You know, all this was made possible by the stabilizing presence of UNAMID on the ground, which frankly prevented the conflict from escalating. Because, you know, just the mere presence itself.
The mere presence, yeah, yeah, right.
Now, the other thing was, of course, just saving lives. The facilitation of the humanitarian relief operations to the populations in Darfur, bearing in mind that we had a very large number of IDPs in Darfur. But the conditions have been created through the presence of UNAMID and through its facilitation of the peace process. I said, okay, we created an environment for the negotiations to take place, but we actually provided also the logistic and administrative support for the Doha negotiations. And although the mediation itself was a separate entity at the time, the joint mediation support team and the joint chief mediator was separate. Now, of course, that has been merged. There was still the support that the mission provided in getting people to the negotiations, in facilitating all the meetings within Darfur itself, the post-Doha consultations. And of course, on the ground, UNAMID has played a major role in trying to create an environment of mutual tolerance and engagement between different communities. I see that as a major achievement on which to build. You know, there's still a lot to be done in terms of...
Let's look into the future. Yeah. What kind of reassurance you can leave behind for 2.3, according to some estimates, displaced people here in Darfur once UNAMID actually is gone?
I think the improvement in the security situation is a very, very important thing. And the commitment that we hear to improving rule of law, to me, gives me a lot of hope. It suggests that there will be sufficient resources for whom, first and foremost, the government of Sudan has a responsibility. But the international community also is committed, and the core issues that must be addressed have been identified, and I think there's a commitment that everyone in the camps can enjoy protection under the law, because this is what rule of law is basically about. Can this person go back to their place of origin? If they cannot go back for whatever reason, you know, and when I say go back, I mean voluntarily go back, what does the system offer for them? Can they reside in a city of their choice, and what support will they have in order to restart their lives? But if that were to be the case, then you have to think of the infrastructure that has to be provided and livelihoods. Do they have the protection of the law? The test will be how this is implemented, and that is really the key. I would also say that much as we may be talking of the withdrawal of UNAMID, I'm sure the international community, and in particular the African Union, they will continue to maintain an interest in what is happening and to engage with the authorities in Sudan. And to me, that gives me an assurance. The AU would continue to advocate in all fora for the IDPs that their interests be taken into account. So it may well be that we don't have the military presence, but it doesn't mean politically there's no longer engagement.
So no vacuum.
There's also one thing one must emphasize is for both sides in Sudan to recognize that ultimately there is no solution other than to engage in dialogue. I think the solution ultimately lies in having that open mind, objectivity, and a sense of fairness, and recognizing that Sudan is for all of its inhabitants. I know a little bit more about Sudan now. Very interesting. And I said, you know, Sudan is in the unique position of being the focal point. This is where the North, you know, the Arab world meets sub-Saharan Africa. But this is where also the East meets the West. Now, you could turn that into a big plus for the country. This is where you say, you know, diversity actually can amount to something, or does amount to something positive. It's a question of how you apply it.